And good evening. It is Friday. I'm Michael Cohen with producer Jesse Weiser. Thank you for joining us. On today's show, we're going to be looking at this new healthcare law. You will find out what the state of Michigan will be doing to prepare, how the Michigan insurance companies are reacting, and we'll talk about the legal implications of the ruling, specifically when it comes to the Commerce Clause. And if you were born between the early 60s and early 80s, then you're part of Generation X. We'll be talking about some of the unique challenges you're facing. I will be joined by an author that says that you are part of the forgotten generation. But first, the Supreme Court ruling on the Affordable Care Act is now behind us. But what's ahead may be complicated. What is the next step that state lawmakers here in Lansing will be taking to discuss that? And what's ahead for this Michigan healthcare exchange? I'm joined by one man that's going to be playing a key role in the process, Republican State Senator Jim Marlowe, chairman of the Senate Health Policy Committee. Jim, thanks for joining us on WILS tonight.
Michael, it's a true honor to be with you this evening. Appreciate it. Hope things are cool where you are.
They are, in fact, in the studio, very nice and chilly. I do want to first get your reaction to yesterday's ruling. The estimate is that there are over a million Michigan residents that are now uninsured. Will Michiganians be better off once this health care law takes full effect?
You know, I truly think that they will. And one of the most important things, you have to step back. You know, when I first went in January of 2011, my team and I made a decision that we wanted control of the health care for Michiganders here in Michigan. We didn't want someone else in Washington or wherever running the health care of the state of Michigan. Mm-hmm. And so with that premise in mind, we just started working to the fruition of what is better known as the My Health Marketplace, Senate Bill 693.
Right. Well, in fact, the issue is the House Republicans are not as eager about moving this process forward. House Speaker Jace Bolger, in a statement, said he was mad and disappointed by yesterday's ruling. He added that the exchange would be adopted as, quote, a last option. So how are you going to now negotiate with House Republicans to get this process in motion?
Well, you know what? The ball is still in the Speaker's court. And, you know, the Speaker knows what we've done in the Senate, and we just have to come to some kind of agreement on what product we're going to be able to bring to our residents. The Senate passed it out of the Senate last November. I believe it was November 10th, 2011. And that was the last, you know, that, mm-hmm. that we had any input into it. And they have basically made a decision that they were going to wait for the Supreme Court. So it's now, you know, up to how they want to handle it.
Sure.
I don't want to get in there and muck it up by telling anybody what they need to do. They're in charge. Whether it's a three-legged milk stool, Michael, and that's the way it always has been, and that's the way it is.
I see. Well, I'm talking to Jim Marlowe, chairman of the Senate Health Policy Committee, of course, a Republican state senator. Now, tell me about what we have so far when it comes to the My Health Marketplace. Is there an initial idea of how this website will be structured?
Well, you know, you got to start with a couple of premises, okay? And number one, the My Health Marketplace is a non-exclusive health insurance clearinghouse. Just think of it as a clearinghouse, and it creates a competitive market in which residents of the state of Michigan will be able to buy their insurance, okay? That's the first thing you have to think about. One of the other things that we put into it that no other, to my knowledge, no other state has put in theirs is that the insurance agents will have a role in working with and being able to sell insurance on the exchange, and the federal one does not have that and does not allow it. We put it in ours. We refer to ours as a little bit of a hybrid, and so we sort of push the envelope in a couple of different directions, allowing agents. I have a personal thing. We have a problem with unemployment right now in the state of Michigan. Why in the name of goodness would we want to take people and say you can't be employed selling health insurance.
I do want to ask you about the cost, too. What is the approximate cost that's going to be involved in administering and setting up this site?
That's the beauty, I believe, and that's the hidden thing that people don't understand. So, Michael, I'm glad you asked about the cost. First of all, it's designed as a self-funded nonprofit entity. It does not have any state agency, and will have no bureaucracy footprint. So there's no charge to the taxpayer. The board members of this nonprofit self-funded 501c3 will receive no financial benefits from anybody, directly or indirectly, from any insurance company or any health provider. So this is basically putting it out there. Yes, there is going to be a fee attached to this, and it's going to be a 2% fee attached to purchasing it. Hmm. And the fee goes back to the nonprofit to keep things going in existence. So people say, well, when does it stop working? It stops working when people stop buying,
I do want to ask you, too, about the structure of the site. Do you have any sense of how it's going to work? You log in. Are you going to be presented somehow equally with all of the different options from the insurance companies, or is it going to be a step-by-step process of asking you questions?
We haven't got that far, and I'm glad you mentioned that. We have $9.8 million grant from the federal government that is unable to be touched because the House Appropriations keeps taking it out. We put the $9.8 million grant in there that we received, and it was to do the IT piece, go out for bid for an IT piece to create what this site is to look like. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, we have not been able to spend anything. So hopefully, now that the Supreme Court has ruled, maybe the appropriations in the House will be able to allow us to spend a grant that is our own taxpayer money. The Michigan residents have paid this money to the federal government.
Let me ask you this, though. Governor Snyder wants this to move ahead. You want this to move ahead. Senate Republicans are behind this. Why are House Republicans being so resistant?
You know, I'm going to have to defer to you. Have to ask them. I don't really know why. There's no boogeyman out there. There's a secondary grant. We got the 9.8. There's a secondary grant out there that we'll have to know what that is to do the IT piece. Mm-hmm. If we don't get the grant and we want to control our own destiny, then we're going to have to step up to the plate as taxpayers and come up with somewhere between $75 million and $150 million to do the IT piece. And I'm basing those numbers on other states, on the grants that they've received, from the federal government.
Isn't there a political implication, though, in appearing to be too supportive of the process? I mean, isn't part of it resisting the entire health care laws that's been passed and the individual mandate?
Yes. There's a flavor there that some people think that we are helping the federal government, President Obama. And, my problem and where I've been, and I'm an old Boy Scout, okay, and it's be prepared. And you mentioned, Michael, that we have up to a million people that are going to be looking for help from the state of Michigan on this. And how do you tell them on January 1, 2014, when other states are getting help and we are not going to be able to help them because we didn't put our act together.
One last question. The Medicaid coverage expansion, now it is going to be optional for each state to proceed with that or not. Is there any reason why Michigan should not choose to be involved in that program?
I think we have to get into some deeper discussion on that. I've been checking on some of that myself. I understand that if we don't take it to that 133% of poverty, they're going to cut off all of our Medicaid dollars. This is a huge amount of dollars. I don't have the numbers in front of me here tonight, Michael. I tried to find my budget numbers, but it's over $11 billion that we bring in for Medicaid at the present time.
Right, but advocates say that the federal government, at least for the first 3 years, is paying 100% of this additional expanded coverage.
Yeah, and then it drops to 90.
Are you saying that, are you supporting this plan at this point?
You know, yes, we did. I did support that. And I think that we're going to have to take a look at it now that everything is, the court has ruled on everything. When I was supporting it, we didn't know. It was the unknown. I would rather take a second look at this and work with my colleagues on this. So again, but I do understand that it's only for 2 years and then it goes away. And then the state is going to have to step up to the plate for 90% of that.
So again,
we have to look at and crunch those numbers and see what those real numbers are.
30 seconds left. Tell me this. How soon, because the House is saying this exchange needs to be in place in 2014, there's time. In your mind, how quickly do they need to now act to get the process moving?
Well, we've already missed every window that we have, so now we're waiting for the feds to increase the window for us as far as the grants go. October 1 of next year, we have to start enrolling people. So that goes in. So we actually have from October 1 of next year is the first deadline that we have to meet. We should have already had a beta test available for the federal government to take a look at this time right now. They should be looking at a beta test between now and August was part of the thought process.
That has not happened
that
yet.
That cannot happen.
Right. Well, we'll see how...
And Michael, one of the things you have to realize is that the real true top-grade experts have already been gobbled up by other states. Mm-hmm. They're under contract. So we're going to have to go and maybe get a junior varsity team to come in here and do our work for us.
It'll be interesting to see how things move ahead from this point on. Sounds like there's going to be some pressure ratcheting up. Republican State Senator Jim Marlowe, chairman of the Senate Health Policy Committee. Jim, thanks for joining us on WILS this evening.
It's a pleasure, Michael. Take care.
You too. Coming up next, we're going to talk about how insurance companies in Michigan are going to be reacting. That is next. I'm Michael Cohen. This is 1320 WILS.